By the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I the Lord thy
Friday of the month of October. That would be the first day of the month of October too, right? So yeah, we have five Fridays this month. Yeah, usually don't have that many. So this is one of those five Sundays and five Saturdays and five Fridays months. So welcome to the program tonight. And we will be ministering the word as usual, then doing some deliverance afterwards. But first, we're going to open up with a little bit of news as we start the program out here. So if you're ready, I'm going to take off into some news here. Pat Robinson of the 700 Club stepped down after 55 years of hosting the 700 Club. 55 years, that's a long time to be doing that. California Governor Newsom signs a bill allowing children to hide from their parents their abortions and their transgender treatment. They don't have to tell the parents. They can hide it legally. So because that governor, yeah, that has a lot of the something in him that is not good, has signed that such a bill. So if the parents are Christian and the child wants to rebel and go have an abortion or have transgender treatment, they can do that. Of the 176 million American adults who identify as Christian, just 6% or 15 million of them actually hold a biblical worldview, says a new study from Arizona Christian University. More than half reject the existence of the Holy Spirit. Well, they're probably not born again then, because how you get born again without the Holy Spirit being in you? That's really something strange that people are thinking there's no existence of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Some 62% of self-identified born-again Christians contend that the Holy Spirit is not a real living being, but is merely a symbol of God, God's presence, power, or purity. Another 61% say all religious faiths are of equal value. Oh, my. Yeah. So all religious faiths, the Mormons, Catholics, the Jehovah's Witness, the Buddhists, really? I don't think that's accurate at all, but that's what 60% of today's self-proclaimed born-again people say. But these are not biblical worldviews. And there's 60% believe that if a person is a good person and they're good enough and does enough good things that they can earn their way to heaven. So that sure isn't grace at all. That's the religious spirit in full manifestation. They want you to think you can earn your way. But no, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast, right? Not of work, lest any man should boast. So if these people are, you know, claiming to be Christians, you got to wonder how many people are really born-again Christians. Because their beliefs are not lining up with the Word of God at all. Excuse me. Well, U.S. records the largest murder spike in decades as 2020 saw 21,000 people killed. Oh, well, I think COVID might have had anything to do with that. Locking people up in their home. R. Lauren Sanford, 70 years old, he died. We had him in our church one time years ago in another state. Well, he pastored New Song Church in Denver, Colorado, and supposedly he languished for weeks in the hospital in Denver with COVID-like symptoms, or they probably put him on things that were not the best for him, right, which is what the drugs of choice are not that good. According to a number of doctors, they actually, after 5 days, they start to shut down organs in your body. So basically, they kill you, according to these doctors that are saying this. Anyway, and the ventilator, too, my. Shortages are not going away anytime soon, or maybe ever. Should stock up on things and the food you need and want. Insider said he'd never seen such shortages this bad ever. And the mainstream media is lying when they say, oh, this is just a little temporary thing, if they even mention it at all. But lying as usual. There's over 65 ships waiting in harbors to bring and unload their goods, but they're not allowed to come in. I wonder why they won't allow them to come in. This is another design shortage. Pfizer insider, whistleblower, says if you get the vax, you're more likely to get COVID. She said non-injectees are only a 1.3% of getting the COVID, and the vaccines, those who have received the vaccine, they have a 4.34% chance of getting it. It went up by over 300%. And so, wow. That's from Karen Kingston, a whistleblower, former Pfizer employee. So they have more chance of getting it and having problems than the people who haven't even gotten a vaccine. Of course, you never hear that on mainstream media. Of course not. House Democrats just passed the most expansive federal abortion access bill in American history. This bill will overwrite state abortion restrictions, such as the heartbeat bill in Texas that was recently passed in Texas. Yeah, that Pelosi claimed to be a Catholic. Really? I don't think Catholics believe in abortion, but she sure does. Sheriff departments across the United States say they will not enforce Biden's unconstitutional COVID vaccine mandates. They're just not going to enforce it, period. So good for them standing up, right? So pray for Steve Quayle. He went in the hospital this week and with supposedly some serious problems, but he's out now and at home and recovering. But continue to pray for him that he will fully recover, and we'll do that. We'll pray for him, too, here in a moment when we pray. But, yeah, pray that he'll have full recovery. So a lot of things going on in this wicked world, and we should stay in prayer and keep ourselves before the Lord and not be shy about being in his presence. I tell you, we need it more than ever. So the things that are going to happen in the days ahead, listen, if you're not ready, they will kind of mess with you, okay, because it's not going to get back to normal. I mean, if people think that, they are deceived. Things are not going to get back to normal. Having a population of the world being forced to take vaccination or attempted to be forced to take vaccination, that's not normal, never will be normal. So we're living in a time that is evil, unprecedented evil, like we've never seen. And it's only going to get worse if they get away with things. And so we pray against it. And we're going to pray tonight against the evil that man has planned under the influence of devils, of course. Because who's really orchestrating man? Not just man. Okay, there are evil spirits behind the works of evil. So we'll pray about that here, too, as we open up in prayer tonight. Are you ready to pray? I'm ready to pray. So we'll pray, and we'll get into the Word. And again, welcome to the program tonight. Appreciate you tuning in, and we're thankful for you and appreciate each one of you. The Lord bless you tonight and encourage you, and may you gain some insight and spiritual growth tonight from the words that we're going to share with you. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. Thank you for another opportunity to be together with the listening audience and to share your word with them. And we look to you to do that, Father. We look to you for the anointing. We look to you for the Holy Spirit who teaches to do his teaching, Lord, in the lives of people. And do your work, Lord, tonight. We give you praise and glory for it tonight. And Lord, we just bind those wicked spirits that are trying to destroy this nation and the whole world as we've known it, and bring in the globalist antichrist, one world globalist order. Lord, we pray against that in Jesus' name, and we send the angels into battle now, Father, in faith. We believe, God, that the angels of the Lord are being sent out now, and we send them in Jesus' name, too. And thank you, Lord, for turning things around, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel to have free course and be able to be shared freely with people, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, you'll raise your church up as mighty warriors in this end time hour, Father, that there'll be holy boldness and to be unashamed of the gospel, Father, of Jesus Christ. And Father, that they'll become awakened to the need for deliverance as well, Father. We pray for that, and we pray for signs and wonders and miracles in these latter days and the great deliverances, Father. Thank you for doing wonderful things in this hour, even though it looks dark and evil and dark. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, your church is going to shine brighter, even in the midst of great persecution, will shine brighter and brighter until that full day of your return. And we thank you, Lord, that you're coming quickly, Father, and it won't be that long off until the return of our Lord at that second coming of Christ on that great and glorious day for the people of God, but a day of dread and terror for the lost. But, Lord, we pray more people will come into your kingdom right now. And, Lord, we pray that you remove wickedness from office and in various offices of this land, and things will you put righteous rulers in, so that the people rejoice when the righteous rule and they mourn when the wicked rule. So, Father, we pray you put the righteous in all across this nation, even the top offices of this nation, in Jesus' name, and you turn things around. We bind every wicked plan formed in secret from coming to pass, Father, that they will confuse and divide their tongues and let them turn and consume one another, Father. Let them not be able to stand united, Father. Those who are wicked devices that are trying to be brought forth. In Jesus' name, we pray for division amongst them, that they will be divided, and divided they will fall. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your hand, and that you will have the last word in these things, Father, for your glory. And, Father, we lift up Steve, Father. Thank you for getting him out of the hospital, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to get better and better, Father. We ask that your hand would be upon him, that healing would be upon him in the name of Jesus. Right now, we rebuke the devourer. We rebuke the spirit of death. And we speak life to his physical, mortal body, Father. Let him get rest. Let him get recovered in the name of Jesus. We thank you for ministering to him and encouraging him during this time, Lord, as he recovers what the enemy tried to steal from him in Jesus' name. And we just ask you to bless the program tonight, too, Father, and those who listen. Both now and later, Father, we pray a blessing on them that they will receive, Lord, what you want them to receive. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the hedge of protection around us as we bring forth your word. Thank you for the angel of the Lord encamped round about me and round about us and round about the listeners to the program, Father, as we bring forth your word, Father. We thank you that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we have the mind of Christ that can interpret things, Lord, that has understanding of spiritual things, Father. We thank you that we can draw from the mind of Christ. We thank you for the children's bread tonight, Father, for deliverance for your people, Lord God. Thank you for the miraculous signs and wonders of deliverance, Father. We thank you, Lord, for ministering in people's lives, Father. We pray you meet their needs, Father, those who have needs that have not been met, Father, that listen to the program. Father, we pray, Lord, that you minister to them and meet their needs, Father, abundantly, Lord, and supply, Lord, for them their needs, Father, that they would have more than enough, Father, and that there would be food in their cabinet, Father, and a roof over their head, Father, that you'd abundantly provide for each and every one who listens to this program. And, Father, if they're sick tonight, we speak healing and health to their bodies in Jesus' name, and we rebuke the devourer. We rebuke sickness, infirmity, and disease, Father. We rebuke the curse off of them in the name of Jesus and break the curses that causes things to happen, accidents and different other things. And we break that curse over them in Jesus' name. Thank you for the favor of God being on us, Father. And each and every one here that's listening, Father, we pray for the favor of God, Father, at work and in relationships with other people and on our places of abode, Father, wherever that may be, Father, whatever state that may be, whatever country that may be. We just thank you for that. We thank you for taking the best of care of your children, Father, in Jesus' name. And we bind Satan. We cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. We cover each and every listener with the blood of Jesus tonight. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. We break every word, curse, every hex, every vex, every spell, every jinx in Jesus' name. And thank you for the power, Lord, of your spirit and the angels of the Lord that are encamping round about us, Lord, that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling place, man-made or otherwise. It's not coming in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us from the ever evil day when it comes that we'll be able to stand, having done all stand against all the powers of darkness, and they will not prevail against us in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, praise the Lord. And amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Here we go, folks. Keys to your well-being. That's the title tonight. I'm going to help you in areas of your life. That's what this is about. Keys to your well-being. I mean, know that God wants you blessed, but I mean, know that not every Christian is being blessed right now. In fact, a lot of Christians are suffering greatly, and, you know, they just don't know. You know, that Jesus said, I mean, they may know it, they may have read it, but it's not real to them, that God said in John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, right? Not just life, but have abundant life. That's what he said. He didn't promise you sickness, disease, and death. I'm come that you might have sickness, disease, and death. No, he didn't say that at all, did he? No, that's not what the word says at all. Okay? He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might. Hey, see, that shows the difference between the two, the devil and Jesus and what he came, that they might have life and have it more abundantly, see? So the thief is a robber and a thief and a robber, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but God come to give you that abundant life. So we need to find out about that and how we can live in, a better level of living as a Christian. You know, there is a conflict, a war to keep you from peace. And to keep you troubled about life, people, and to keep you troubled about people in your life and events that take place as well in your life and around your life and in this world. And, there is the thing about your place that you dwell, too, that you ought to know about. You know, I don't know where you dwell. Some people dwell in apartments. Some people live in a mobile home. We live in mobile homes many years because, we just didn't make enough in the ministry to have a real house. So we had to live in mobile homes. And, it's a fact. I mean, homes out here, they're running, get a decent house of $200,000 or more. So for a really nice house, you're going to pay even more than that. But, they've just gone up ridiculously here in Montana over the past year and a half. It's amazing. But sometimes our homes are a troubled place, a troubled by devil's place, in fact. And there's a presence there that is not the presence of God, a demonic thing, And maybe you're bothered sometimes with dreams that are not right, or fearful dreams, or sexual dreams, or troubling dreams. Or maybe you're nervous and have a lot of stress and fear in your life, in your home even, where you shouldn't be having all that, because your home's supposed to be a castle of protection, a place where you go into the presence of God. Yeah, supposed to be. But the enemy is doing some things to you in your home, in your very home, a place where you're supposed to be at peace, that don't allow you to have peace. And realize this, some people have never possessed their homes, whether it be an apartment or a mobile home, or whether it be a thick-built home or a condo or whatever it may be. We're going to have to take dominion there, or something else will. That's a fact of the matter. Okay? You're going to have to take dominion in your home, whatever kind of home it is, or something else will take dominion there in your home. Something else will have the dominion there. And perhaps you have never cleaned house either. Maybe you have never cleaned up the garbage and gotten the junk out in your home. I'm talking about things that are seen and unseen. The demonic clutter. And some things people own and have in their home that as a Christian, they should not even have, like a cursed object, like the Bible said, the accursed thing. You need to remove it so you can be blessed. You keep it and you invite unwelcome visitors. Have you ever anointed your dwelling place with oil? Well, I just anointed this place again this week with oil. And I've already done it a number of times, and I'll do it as many times as necessary because we're in the battle here. The enemy doesn't like us here. Doesn't want us here, and he hates us, and we're just going to continue to anoint our house. Sometimes you may have to do it a number of times before you break the enemy's hold completely. See? And so that's what a lot of people don't realize. Well, I anoint my home and still having a problem. Well, you got to anoint again and again until you break the thing and you secure your place where you're living. Okay? Your home can be a place of peace. And, it depends on the level of their hold there, the demonic hold there. But, hey, you get as often as necessary. Some places you might only need to anoint once or twice with oil. But most places you're going to have to do it more than that. Because that home should be a place of rest where you can be in fellowship with the Lord, not a place where the enemy dominates and causes strife and worries and stress and uneasiness and accidents and troubles and bad dreams and dissension and sickness and disease and division and divorce and all these different things. Okay? Not that you won't ever be attacked. We're all attacked at times. Okay? That's just part of life in this world. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. So in Christ Jesus, we can overcome the world. But it doesn't mean you won't be persecuted. Don't mean that you won't be attacked by the enemy. Okay? The enemy may probe your area to see what he can get away with there. Like probe your home, see what kind of defenses you have up. But the word says, be vigilant, be sober. For your adversary walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, whoever he may devour. In other words, someone who gives him permission to devour, he will devour. You got an open door. That's permission, okay? You got an open door in your life, okay? You're just living with somebody. You're not married. You got an open door to be attacked in your life. So don't be surprised when you get attacked. Okay? If you smoke a weed all the time, don't be surprised if you're not attacked. You've got an open door. See, you're not secure. Your defenses are not secure. Okay? If you're an alcoholic, drinking alcohol all the time, then you've got an open door to be attacked. So don't be surprised. But he's seeking whom he might have permission to devour. If you're living in fear all the time, don't be surprised. You get attacked by the evil one. Right? There's an open door there. Can't live in fear. We got a clean house. You got to get cleaned up, see? Yeah. And get rid of the stuff in there that's causing these difficulties for you. So I want to give you some keys tonight to help to you to have harmony and peace in your life at home and elsewhere as well. Also help you walk financially well and not sick either. That kind of wellness also. Physically and mentally. Well, and not sick, right? So let's talk about these things. Now, we're already talking about the home, but number one is protect your home against negative influences. And this might include certain people, friends or relatives that you're bringing into your home, and they're leaving a bad presence in your home, okay? Because that can happen. Absolutely, that can happen. You do bring certain people in, they can bring some demons in because they know, the demons know they're coming over to your house, and they'll just pick up some hitchhikers that'll come in and drop them off right there in your home, and you'll have to deal with something. We've had people do that before. They just come in our home and they drop something off there. Some demon piggybacked on them into the house because they had an open door on the people they came in with. So, hey, they're just their carriers, and they're dropping off some demonic, they're not people, but some demons there. So protect your home against negative influences. For certain TV movie programs, some of them you don't need to be watching. I mean, not all of them are healthy, right? And fewer of them are. Certain types of music, ungodly music, what are you doing? Bringing in the world's music? When the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. Negative worldly books and magazines. And hey, this time of year, don't bring the Halloween stuff of any kind into your home. That's a cursed object, right? Why would you bring anything to do with Halloween, which is a satanic high day and a human sacrifice month this month? Why would you bring that stuff into your house? Let's start out reading tonight in Joshua 6. Joshua 6:18. Yep, Joshua. And ye in any wise keep yourself, or in any way possible, you're going to keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. So you could trouble your own camp by partaking of an accursed object. An accursed thing. You bring some of that ungodly music into your home, you're going to bring in the cursed object into your home. Also, Joshua 7:13, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Okay, so, you know, why would you have a costume for Halloween in your home? No, we don't partake of it in any way, shape, or form. We don't have Christian parties at the church for Halloween. We don't do harvest parties or anything. We don't glorify the day in any way, shape, or form. We don't dress up as little Bible persons or critters either. Oh, but we got to give the kids something. Oh, really? Why do you give them anything of Satan? You want to give your kids, children, or children things of Satan, your children things of the devil? Just because the world does, it doesn't mean you need to train your children to do everything that the world does. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So why should we do the things that the world does? Why should we partake of what they partake of and that what they glorify? This month they glorifying witches and, you know, jack-o'-lanterns and all these different things of ghosts and goblins and all things dark and evil and death. Why would you have any part of that? See, when we bring in the accursed thing, it makes us ineffective against the enemy in spiritual warfare. And it can open the door in your home, too, for the enemy to attack you, see. See, negative influence affects your mind, our body as well, and our marriages, our children, our prosperity, our health. And some people have lost their mind by holding on to accursed things. They literally lost their mind because they won't get rid of the accursed stuff in their home, artifacts and relics and different things that are cursed. Yeah. And they bring the curse into the home, owls, frogs, different things that you shouldn't have, certain artifacts of different cultures that bring in devils with them. Yeah. Didn't have little Buddhas in your house. Little happy Buddhas, really? You bring that in, you curse yourself. You bring in the horoscope, that you curse yourself. You bring in certain things of the occult, New Age, you curse yourself. The pendulum and all these different things that people do. And yeah, number two, be willing to receive counsel. Okay? You need to be willing to receive counsel. A lot of people just don't listen to wise people in the Lord, and they don't listen to the word. They listen to their own mind above all things. They're their own counsel. And no, we need the counsel of God, first and foremost, of his word. And because you're getting the counsel of God when you read his word and you hear his word. And we need to listen to wise people in the Lord. I mean, in the Lord, not in the world, because, you know, people that are wise in the world are not wise in God, I'm telling you. Okay? Proverbs 24. We're going to run over there for a minute here. Let's read a couple of verses. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. See how important it is? Verse 6 here. Let's read that also as we finish this. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counsel is there safety. What is wise counsel and the multitude of counselors? Well, the multitude is John, Paul, Luke, and Proverbs, and Ephesians, and Colossians, and Revelation, and Psalms. Come on. That's what the multitude of counselors are. And those who have the Lord alive in them with some wisdom under their belt from because they've been in the presence of God, right? They've been in the presence of God. They've fed on the word of God. Yeah, that's the multitude we need, the multitude of counselors we need. And these are your multitude of counselors. And by them we make war against the enemy. We prevail against the enemy. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He giveth his angels charge over me. He teaches my hands to war. We better listen to the Lord teaching our hands to war, because we're in the war of a lifetime now. It's never been like this. Never been like this, like it is right now. So people need to be very aware that we need to let the Lord teach our hands to war through wise counsel, the counsel of the word and the counsel of godly men and women. Number three, never allow your mouth to talk self-curses. That's right. A lot of people are just plain old self-cursing themselves, like a lack of health. They're cursing their health. Oh, I might get this. I might get that. Or this probably going to get this. It's going around. Or poverty. You know, you talk poverty on your finances. You talk lack of what you do not have. Well, that's exactly what you will have, a lack of it and plenty of it. See, you curse your own financial standing. See, by your negative words, by your fearful words that, oh, I'm going to end up with nothing. I'm going to lose this job, or, you know, I might lose it. They might fire me because of COVID or whatever. You know, just fear, see? You're cursing yourself. You're allowing your mouth to talk things that are against the word of God. Quit saying, well, I just can't afford it. But when we say that, we give the enemy the right to see that we never can afford it, right? As long as you talk that way. And so these are nothing but words, we say, but they're words of doubt and unbelief, and words have power, life and death, and the power of the tongue. Remember, what is it that God can't afford anyway? You quit saying that stuff. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We're in Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 12:14. Proverbs 12:14. You got to get your mouth in alignment to protect your whole body from demons. Because if your mouth is your open door, then you're just letting all kind of problems in by the things you're saying with your mouth. See? And you're giving the devil permission to do things to you that you don't need to have done to you that are not in alignment with the word of God and not the promises of God. See? Proverbs 12. But look at verse 14. 12:14, it says, a man should be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. See, so what your mouth says is either going to either bring you good or it's going to bring you something else. Verse 6 also here, it says here, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. See, we can say the right thing with our mouth that will deliver us from the power of the enemy and deliver us from the wicked that are laying wait to destroy us. And don't think that someone up there in that district of criminal doesn't want to destroy the Christians, because they know what Christians stand for, everything that they don't stand for, right? Amen. And they don't like you, and they don't want us around. If they get rid of us, they would. If they know it's not that easy. But still, they'd love to get rid of us. They don't like us. They don't want us around. Proverbs 18:2. Hallelujah. Let's see, 18:2. No, that's not the one I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read 13:2, I think. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. In other words, who that guardeth your mouth. That's what the word keepeth means. He that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction and death, right? That word destruction, death. You know, a lot of Christians are living in death. They're living under a spirit of death today because that's what they've spoken with their mouth. They've opened wide their lips and spoke death over themselves. And they're living in a measure of death right now. Oh, yeah, they're physically alive, but they're living in a measure of death because that's what their mouth has spoken. You can open your mouth and say things that allow a spirit of death to attack you. And that brings death to your health, death to your finances, death to your relationship, death to your stuff that you own, and cause it to break apart, fall apart, and break down before it's time, right? Oh, yeah. There are ways to prolong your stuff. And part of it is with your mouth, and part of it is, of course, being a tither. You're a tither. Your stuff is blessed. It'll last longer than other people's stuff. And, yeah. See, if we have treasures in our home by being a giver, which is what we need to become, because the Bible says that we should be a giver in our home and move outward from there, number four. So be a giver in your home and move outward from there. Okay? Give compliments to your spouse. Give to your children. Give to your wife, your husband. Even if they don't measure up to your standard, that's not the issue. You're a giver. God's a giver. Tell people you love them and how important they are to you. See, when love and giving begins in the home, it's got to show up everywhere, not just in your home. Anyone can be nice to somebody for a few minutes or even a few hours at church or out in public, but, hey, invest time in the people in your house, in your marriage, your husband, your wife. If you have children at home, your children, your friends. See, this is important that we become givers first at home, and then we give the gospel. We give out love to the world. We give out goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. So we have these things available. Psalm 112:3, what wealth and riches should be in his house. Whose house? The righteous house. Okay? Should be in his house, her house. And his righteousness endures forever. In Proverbs 15:6, another one on this. Oh, yeah, these things are true for us. And we need to get a hold of these things. Proverbs 15:6, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Yeah, the wicked are full of trouble. There's much treasure in the house of the righteous, both spiritual treasure and supposed to be physical treasure, too. Okay? So we take that treasure out of our home to church. We give it to others, to the store, everywhere we go. The treasure, what's in us, Christ in us, right? The hope of glory. And we should not grab the biggest piece all the time and hog the bathroom or selfishly demand everything our way. Hey, become a giver at home, and you'll be one everywhere else. See, God says give alms in private. He'll reward you openly. When we brag about how great we are, And we sacrifice some of our spiritual reward, I think, okay, to get the fleeting recognition of men. And we care about men's recognition. We care about God's recognition. That's what counts. But if we give ministry, love, money, prayer, fasting, our time, and the Father's eyes will see it, and we are placing our treasure in heaven in him, see, Matthew 6:21, right? What, remember that one? It's just a one-liner. You remember it? How many remember Matthew 6:21? Anybody remember that? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But there's a profound statement. See, as we deposit our treasure in heaven and with him, our hearts will be in heaven with him, see? Because he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yeah, our spirit will be in heaven with him, and the eyes of our spirit will be open to see in the spiritual realm and get revelation, see? Oh, yeah. Yeah, when our treasure's in earth, then you get the stuff of the world, right? And it ain't good stuff. But the world doesn't have anything to offer you. Oh, yeah, we use the things of the world, and when God will bless us with things, and as long as the things don't have us, we can have things. He'll bless you with stuff. He'll bless you with people and friends and different things. But listen. Our treasure's not here. Our treasure's in heaven. Amen. So our spirit's in heaven. We're seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places right now so we can partake of the spiritual things. So that's where our treasure is. Number five, as long as you're breathing, never, never quit. Never, never give up. Believe all the time you're going to make it, saint, because he'll cause you to make it. Even when it doesn't look like you're going to make it, he'll cause you to make it. Even when it looks impossible. Even if it looks like you're being overwhelmed, it'll cause you to make it. Amen. Some people, they called me this week talking about suicide, Hey, they're Christian. They got everything in the world, everything in heaven to live for, right? You got to believe you're going to make it and quit buying into the garbage of Satan that they put in your mind, the devil puts in your mind and gets you to be on the brink of suicide. Believe you'll be a happy, prosperous, and blessed, productive person. Too many people believe their circumstances and situations and let their circumstances and situations dictate how they're going to live their life. So they can end up letting devils lead them when they let their circumstances and situations lead and direct their life. They let devils lead them because Satan manipulates circumstances and situations in life. How many know that? Of course he does. Why do you think some of the bad things happen to you that happen to you? You think that Satan wasn't manipulating circumstances and situations, causing wicked things to take place against you? See? Remember, number six, remember God created you to have dominion in this earth over your home, over the devil, over your health, over your finances. know? So what is the right and power to govern? That's dominion, folks. Dominion. God has given you dominion in the earth, and you need to be exercising dominion, exercise it in our nation. The devil's here trying to use his people to bring dominion here in the United States and other parts of the world right now. And so we need to, you know, exercise dominion and loose those angels to go to work on our behalf and to bring these things down that is high and lofty, things that are lifting themselves up and trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of Jesus Christ and against truth. Hebrews 2:6, it says here, the one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over to work to thy hand. Thou put all things in subjection under his feet. What did you hear that? Listen, are we taking dominion that way? We need to quit letting life and demons in people dictate to you how you're going to live your life. Quit being overwhelmed by circumstances, situations, and overwhelm the circumstances and situations with your God-given spiritual authority over them. Hey, don't speak things that are not God's will. Stop speaking that negative talk here that you're talking. You're just bringing in negative devils. When you talk negative talk, you're going to open the door to negative devils, see? Oh, yeah. And that's what happened. I mean, you get offended at the word sometimes, and, oh, I don't want to hear that. Oh, that's just that prosperity stuff. No, I'm not preaching you just that prosperity stuff, but God does want you to be blessed financially. He says, how do you think that we're going to get the gospel out? If you don't have the money, they can't do it. They got to have transportation. They got to have printed stuff. They have to, you know, there's just all kinds of things it takes money for. And because Jesus had money too, remember, because he had a treasure. Judas was a treasure, and he was stealing out of the money bag all the time, but they had so much money in there that it wasn't noticed, although Jesus knew it. He knew he was a thief and a robber. He knew what he was doing, but still, the other disciples didn't notice it because there was a lot of money in their money bag, right? Oh, come on now. I mean, we got to understand things. Judas was a thief. He was stealing out of there regularly. So, hey. There's nothing wrong with having money, but there's something wrong with money having you, see? And there's something wrong with you just giving all the time just to get something from God. That's the wrong mentality. Even though God will bless you for your giving, that's not the reason we give. We give because we love God and we want to honor him with our tithes and offerings. So remember this also. Words are seeds in the spirit world. So don't speak things that you don't want to have grow up and cause come to full fruition, okay? Because words are seeds in the spirit world. They grow up, they sprout, and they bring to pass the things that are spoken. And if there's negative things, the devil's making sure they grow. He's watering them. If there's spiritual good things from God, then God will make sure it grows as we speak what's in alignment with his word. So what are you growing in your garden? Right now, what are you growing in your garden today? Negativity or things of the Lord? Blessings. Number 7, a soft word turneth away strife. Hey, stay away from harsh words. You know, don't buddy up to a person that's angry all the time, the Bible says. Don't be in an angry man's presence all the time. You don't want to be their best friend. You don't want to be around that all the time. It'll get off on you. Try not to yell all the time. Don't yell at your children, at your spouse. Instead, speak in love, in line with the word of God. Again, we've got to speak in line with the word of God. Okay? And number 8, don't listen to lies and half-truths and what I call poppycockology from the devil and from religion. That's right. The spirit of religion is manifesting big time in the earth right now. And so be careful about that because they'll bring you into bondage. Believe and accept God's word for what it is. Remember your traditions. Remember Jesus said your traditions have made the word of God of none effect. So religious tradition will make the word of God of no effect today too, just as much as it did back then. Said he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief too, remember? So what good is a life with no word power? We don't want a word that has no power. We want to have the power of the word manifested in our lives, see? So don't let the tradition get in there and say, oh, God doesn't do miracles today. Nothing's going to, I've been over here and over there and I've never gotten anything from God and blah, blah. All that nigga stuff, well, you never will with that kind of mentality, see? That's right, because the believing believer is a threat to these religious folks. We rock their boats. We challenge them that they don't have it all together like they like to promote that they do. Man, my religion is right. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, yeah. And any other way is wrong, right? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, their great showing becomes weaker and they lose their attention from their followers. As they look to Jesus, they start looking at Jesus. Listen, if I don't help you look to Jesus, then I'm not doing my job. I told you that before. That's it. We got to grow in Jesus, not some religion, some doctrine of man and demons. We don't. Relationship is what we need, not religion. Relationship is what we need to focus on, not some religion. Remember, God wants you to, number one, be fruitful, not fruity, not a fruitcake. We got a lot of fruitcakes out there. I met plenty of them, and they come to our church. I remember this one woman, that she come up running up to me after church and told me that if I just had to come up and obey the Lord, God would have broke loose in this church. Because God told me if I just come up and kiss you on your forehead, that God would have just broke loose in the church today and have all kinds of things happen, all kinds of miracles and power of God. And yeah, I said, well, you know, I don't think you heard God, lady, because that's not what God told me. And he put me up here leading today and preaching to you. So he didn't tell me that, and I don't believe that. So, come find out that woman was not right on at all in what she said, nor in the way that she was living. As I found out more about her life, it sure didn't line up with the Word of God. But anyway, there's a lot of fruitcakes in the body of Christ today that hearing all kinds of things, but they're not God. They're hearing demons talk to them and religious spirits and false prophecies, just like there was in Jeremiah. You know, that all these prophets prophesying how great everything was going to be. And Jeremiah said, hey, if you just go ahead and go on over to Babylon, you'll live a blessed and life there and raise your children. And after 70 years, you get to go back to Israel. But there's this other prophet, Hananiah, was, God is going to deliver us in 1 year. We'll not have to go. The king of Babylon will fail and all this, blah, blah. But it was a false prophecy. Didn't happen, see? And so there's a lot of those around today, too. So, but don't throw out the good prophecies because there's some false ones out there either, right? Because God wants to give us true prophecies, right? Amen. He sure does. And I've spoken many prophetic words in my lifetime too. So, but yeah, there is those that are fruitcake, but don't be fruitful. And how do we get fruitful? The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of man. You should know them by the fruit. You'll know them by the fruit of the Spirit working in their lives, but you see the fruit. No, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, these things will manifest. And that'll be our fruitfulness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't produce fruit apart from God, see, apart from the Holy Spirit bringing forth the fruit, see. You know that, right? Amen. We got to know these things. Number two, God wants you to increase, right? We don't want the wicked to increase. The righteous need to increase. And number three, you fill the earth with his glory. Number four, subdue the earth. Take dominion. Five, be careful what you listen to and what you say. Number six, obey him, right? We need to be obedient children, not rebellious children. Too many rebels in the church today. They just do what they want to do, and they don't obey the Lord. And they open the door to this rebellious spirit. They come into their lives, okay? And number seven, God wants us to have his very best. You believe that? I know he wants you to have his best, okay? Because we're a work in progress, folks. That's what we are. God has promised to continue to work until, you know, he come back or we pass on to be with him. And all of us need to change. Every one of us still needs to change. All of us need progressive deliverance, too, because all of us have demons still. None of us are totally delivered. It's a work in progress, right? It's a lifetime work. It doesn't just, you know, some people think, well, I got prayed for, and I got rid of all my demons. Don't have any demons left. They all left. Well, I think you're deceived, okay, because that's just not the way it works. Little by little, they went in and possessed the land in the Old Testament. Because if they took them all at once, the beast would consume them. right? The Bible said about that. You remember? And so little by little, we take the land. Little by little, we get deliverance. We get more deliverance and more deliverance. See? Oh, yeah. So if you don't think people have demons, just look at the human race today. If you start observing them, you'll know it. If you don't think Christians have demons, just look at the church today and Christians today. Hey, man, they have so much the same problem as the world does. Same struggles, the same fears, the same lust, same hang-ups, harassment, action, mouth trouble, sicknesses, and on and on. Listen, I've been pastoring people for 30-some years, and I know, you know, that Christians have the same problem. And the list goes on and on. I mean, Christians have their demon trouble too, see. The only big difference and wonderful difference for us as Christians is that we are born again and demons are not in our spirit. They can't get in your spirit. They're in your body and your soul as a Christian, but they can't get in your spirit, see. Hallelujah. Can't get in your spirit. But the lost person, they're in all three parts of them, body, soul, and spirit. Their spirits have demons and their soul has demons, which is flesh is attached to the soul, part of the soul, yeah, the flesh is. And the body, too, see. So, praise God, we're not like it was when we were lost, unsaved and going to hell, like the majority. We have our spirit clean and the Holy Spirit living in us. We have a mighty fortress to fight from, our spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, and where our empowerment comes to fight and win against the demons and the devils there, and to walk in a spirit, you not fulfill the lust of the flesh, saint. What does that word fulfill mean in the Greek? It's teleo. It means to finish or to complete or to give effect to. See? Amen. Fulfill. You'll not complete those lusts of the flesh. You'll not give effect to. You'll not complete them. See, the flesh has its demons. And the flesh is attached to the soul. And Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Demons are no good things. Okay? They're good for nothing. And remember, remember that, okay? They're not your friends and your loved ones, okay? They're demons that are working through people. They're your enemies, and you're going to have to resist them as the word instructs you to do. Also, in my name, Jesus said, in my name, we cast out devils, okay? We don't, you know, we don't contemplate them. We don't interact with them. We don't like to have them hang out and let them make their home in us. No, we cast out devils. So we resist. We cast out and cast down. That word Paul uses, dwell. Remember, he uses the word dwell. That's okeo here in Romans 7. And that's okeo. And it means to inhabit as one's abode, a dwelling place. See, these spirits believe that we're their dwelling place, their abode, their home, their dwelling place. And we must forcibly remove them and change their minds about staying in us, right? And sending them to the dry places where they'll be forced to wander around seeking another host. But that host isn't going to be us in Jesus' name. Amen? We just send them off to the dry place. They don't like that. They need a body. Demons need a body. Angels don't need a body, but demons do. They need a body. Okay? And so they want a body. And so they go hunting for a body. And they'll wander to dry places until they get permission to get in someplace else, looking, seeking whom they may devour, seeking whom they may get into, or walking about, seeking that open door. You know, a sculptor was going to make a horse out of a big block of marble. And somebody came and asked him how he's going to do that. Look, all I see is a big block of marble. And he replied, it's simple. I just start chipping away, and I chip away anything that doesn't look like a horse. And the same with us. You know, God takes the big block that we give him, the big mess, and he begins to chip away at anything that doesn't look just like Jesus. Amen. And it takes a lifetime, and still we're not complete, you know. But he's still working on us till the day of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And yet some of you have said, Lord, why don't you use me more? Well, have patience. He's at work on you, and he will use you more. The day will eventually come when he can use you more and more and more. And you know, there's a lot of junk and demons that God is working on to get out of our lives. And most of us are pretty selfish for one thing. Life centers around us instead of Jesus, and that needs to change. We need to make Jesus the hub of the wheel, and we center everything else around him, not the other way around. But we think everything revolves around us. The whole world revolves around us, and that's the way people think that they, you know, they go into a place and they think everything's revolving around them, and they're the center of attention. But see, how many people are thinking that same thing? And so they're not looking at you. They're hoping you're looking at them, and you're giving them all the attention. See, and everybody's thinking the same thing, and it's just a big mess. See, because everybody's so self-centered, right? And they all think you're looking at them. They all think they're the center of attention. And God wants to get this junk out of us, this selfish out of us. Most of us are really selfish. Really, most people are. We need to face that. In fact, all people are selfish. It's just some are more than others. But yeah, that's one thing I certainly learned over 30-some years of pastoring, that people are selfish, even in the church. Definitely in the church, right? Someone came to me one time and one week and said, well, I sure see this area of my life where I've been missing God. Well, you finally saw it. How many years have they not seen it? See? How many years have you not seen certain things in your life, right? How many years have I not seen certain things in my life? See? We finally see it, but we don't think of how many years have we not seen it. How many years has that thing been the dominating factor in our lives? How many years has that thing got away with murder, so to speak, in our lives, right? Yeah. It took God's surgery to see the truth about ourselves. It took him finally bringing it up to the surface, because we weren't ready 5 years ago. Or we weren't ready 10 years ago to see this. All those years this thing been working, finally, oh, I just saw this stuff about myself here, Pastor, they told me. Yeah. Yeah. Most people go through life seeing themselves the way they want to see themselves, even though it may not be how others see them or even how God sees them, right? You know, oh, that we would see ourselves the way God sees us. Would that be a blessing? Hey, we see ourselves the way God sees us. He sees us as more than a conqueror. He sees us as blessed going in and coming out. He sees us as we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We see us as, he sees us as a mighty warrior in God, more than a conqueror. Amen. Amen. We need to be seeing ourselves according to his seeing and not according to our view. How unworthy you think you are, and how messed up you think you are, and all that's wrong with your life, and all this other stuff, or the other opposite of pride, how great you are. You think you are so great, you know. You're so vain, you probably think of all talking about you, right? I mean, they're all dwelling on you. That old worldly song I heard years ago, wickedness, of course, but still, it had some truth on that one. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the process. See, this is the main part of the Christian life, being conformed, being changed to Christ's image. See, we're being conformed to his image. We're being changed into his image from glory to glory, from face to face. We're being changed to look like Jesus. And we need to shut up about being some great Christian unless we're living Christ-like, okay? Hey, some people want to go around talking about their Christianity, but their life doesn't even line up with any of their talk here. Something's wrong there, okay? We can't line up a little bit at least. I mean, come on. I know none of us have arrived and none of us have everything together, but what does it say in 1 John 2:6? It says that he that saith he abideth in Jesus ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Are we walking like Jesus? And we need to shut up our mouths sometimes, right? If we're not walking like Jesus, you're out there smoking and drinking and cussing and carrying on. Are you going to go witness and tell people about Jesus like that? No, I think that Jesus needs to do work in you, see? A little cleaning up. A Christian should not be lying and cheating and cursing and a snob and full of pride and endless other things in their life that the spirit of darkness is bringing to pass and into manifestation through you. No, we shouldn't be living like that. That's not the way. I mean, too many Christians, there's nothing different about them. They cut, they cheat, they lie, they use drugs, they steal, they commit, they sexual sin and many other things just like the world. How are you going to know any different? Well, how do I walk like he walked? Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Do you know? Well, verse 5 here, 1 John 2, it's But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. Okay? Keeping his word. By keeping the word in you and meditating on it and studying it, it causes God's love to become perfected in you. And when it is perfected, it works. It works. It does work. It does things in you. See? Oh, amen. Oh, man. Hey, for the love of God, perfected. Amen. Whoso keepeth his word in him, verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. See? Praise God. Let's go to Jeremiah 20. Remember that scripture about the word of the fire? We ought to read that too. Hey, the word is the fire of my bones. Hey, amen. That's pretty powerful too. But boy, through the power of the word, there's power in the word of God. He sent forth his word and it accomplishes that which he sends it forth to do. Remember that scripture? Oh, yeah. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Let's read this one. It says here, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not say or could not be silent about him, about what was burning in him like a fire, right? Amen. Amen. Put the word in your spirit and then put it in your mind for the renewing of your mind. By doing this, it'll cause you to change. The fire will burn up that which is not of God. See, he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Fire, what does fire do? It burns away the junk. It's also like a hammer to chisel away all that's not like Christ. His word is like a hammer. Remember that scripture. Look at Joseph. He was a diamond in the rough. I mean, it took years of polishing before his time would come. But you know what? It came. And you know what? Your time is going to come too. It came also for Moses. But how many know after 40 years on the backside of the desert, it took a while, right? It came for Paul after going away for some years. He went away and he just got in the word. He just got taught of the Lord. And he came back with a powerful ministry too. And God will use you too. See, he's not forgot about you. If you're hungry for God, he's going to use you. He's going to bless you. He's going to use you. He's going to work through you. You're going to, if there's a willing vessel, believe me, God's not going to pass you by. Amen. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat of the good of the land. What land? The land of heaven. Not just the land of the earth. You're going to live in a good land. The good land is God land. You're going to eat the good of the land, and there's none good but God. So we're going to eat the good of God if we be willing and obedient. Well, how do we be willing and obedient? Well, we can't do it on our own. We got to do it by the Spirit of God in us. Because you can't obey God on your own ability. You've got the power of God to cause you to be able to obey God. You got to depend on the power of God if you're ever going to do it, see? Amen. So some of you look at yourself, you can't stand what you see. Huh? Well, you're ready for change. You're ripe and ready. You know, God is going to do some spiritual surgery on you. You're ripe and ready for the Spirit of God to move on you and move over you and work on you. We need to hate our life before we can take on his life, right? If you don't hate your life, you're going to lose it. I mean, those that love their life will lose it. Those that hate their life will gain life. See? Oh, yeah. That's what the word says. Quit saying, Lord, I could be more spiritual if I were here or there, or if I had a better job, or if I had a better church, or if I had lived in this city. If I could just go live in Colorado, or if I could just live in Wyoming, or if I could just live in, wherever, whatever, Hawaii, you really don't want to go there. But, yeah, all these different places, liberal places anyway, yeah, a lot of them, but not Wyoming, but, yeah. So, no, you don't need to say that. Oh, if I just had different circumstances. Hey, Adam and Eve had a perfect environment. They still sinned, didn't they? Remember? I said that before, but I'll just remind you. Oh, if I just lived here, if I just lived this way, if I just had this money, if I just had this health. Wait a minute. You know, Adam and Eve have a perfect environment. They haven't even had any sin there. They still failed. They still fell into sin. They still fell from their place of standing. Okay? So quit saying that. No. Don't make excuses for your lack of spirituality. Quit making excuses. Just go get God. Go get God. He's there for the taking. He says, seek and you shall find. Knock at the door, be asked, open and ask, and you shall be given you. So what are you waiting for? He's standing at the door and knocks. He's waiting to come in. He's knocking at the door of you, want to come in there and manifest himself more and more in your life. So telling the Lord I'd be better if he just moved me to Utah, right, with the Mormons, really. He'll simply remind you that that's already been tried and it didn't work. Huh? For all the difficulty you might seem to be in, we can depend upon the word of God, folks. Joseph was cast into prison, sold to slavers, but guess what? He came out on top, didn't he? He sure did. But there is and was something greater than circumstances at work there. I mean, there's something bigger than circumstances at work in your life right now. The Holy Spirit's in you. You're born again. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's working. He's bringing stuff to the surface. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, don't forget the fire. You're going to burn out the stuff in there that's unnecessary, that's not godly, and he's bringing it up to the surface. You're getting delivered. Stuff is ready to go. Amen. You stay in the Word, you're going to make those things uncomfortable. They don't like it when a Christian stays in the Word. It irritates the demons, and they try to turn you away from the Word, make you fall asleep, make you be distracted, make you want to do other things, have people call you up. All these different distractor demons are sent in because they don't like it when you start getting serious about your relationship with God, start getting hungry for God. They don't like that. They don't want you doing that, but they're going to have some distractions, be sure of that. They're going to have some things to cause you to be drawn off the course that you're trying to get on there with seeking God with all your heart. Amen. Here's the key to understanding Joseph and much of what he was going through. Let's go over to Acts 7 and see that key. Hallelujah. Whew. Praise God. It's great. His word is wonderful. His presence is wonderful. Acts 7, verse 9 says, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. You get that? This is it right here. God was with him. See, if God is with us, there's no impediment, no personality difficulty, no inferiority, no problem about your background that can stand in the way of him changing us and making us a mighty instrument of God's glory, a mighty weapon of warfare against the enemy. Hey, there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper if you will declare that over your life. If God is with you, and how many know that it says, and God was, but, remember the big but there just negates everything else that was said before. The patriarchs moved with envy, all his brothers, sold Joseph into Egypt as a slave. But it changes everything. God was with him. Hey, all you need is God with you to come out on top every time. Praise God. And Paul says that, but the Lord delivered me out of them all. He didn't say he delivered me out of a few of them. He didn't say once in a while God would deliver me out of a problem. No, he said, but God delivered me out of them all. Huh? What do you think about that one? To God be the glory, right? You think he can't do the same for you? Some people worry too much here about the present life and the present circumstances and situation. And you're wondering what you're going to do. How am I going to get through this? You're wondering, will God ever even use me? I'm such a mess with all this stuff in my life. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How many of you are worried about that? But if God is with you, what's the problem? If we allow him to do his work and not rebel against him and get into a spirit of rebellion, we're going to make it. We're going to come out on top. Hey, we're the head, not the tail, right? Yeah, the devil's under our feet. And we're in the head, Christ Jesus. Come on. Quit blaming your parents, though. You know, that's something that brings a lot of people into bondage. This can be both self-destructive and can bring judgment on you also. Okay? We need to let God form us until we are taking full responsibility for who we are right now. Quit blaming our parents for it. Yeah, we picked up demons from our parents. Yeah, we probably judge. Some of you judge your parents and you're reaping what you sow from judging them because, I mean, no, you judge not lest you be judged. In those situations, that bring judgment on you. So if you judge your parents, you better repent for that. You better ask God to confess it. You confess it is what you do. Confess it. Lord, I've judged my parents. I'm sorry I did that, Lord. And now I break the curse of judging my parents. I want to reap the same thing they were doing. I don't want to end up doing exactly what they did because I judged them. And that's what happened to so many people. I've seen it happen over and over and over, people who judge their parents. That's right. That's right. And some people walk their whole lives in bitterness and unforgiveness toward their parents or someone else, too. Maybe they judge someone else. And then they suffer their own private hell for doing it. That's right. Yeah. In this life, it's difficult for people who are always judging and who are blaming other people all the time. It can be difficult. That's right. And God is now our parents, and he's going to make us what he wants us to be as we yield to him and quit blaming your parents for the mess you got yourself into and the mess you're in and the mess you think they got you into. Right? Because, well, if my dad had just been this way, I wouldn't be the way I am this day. Well, break the curse on the basis of Jesus Christ becoming a curse for you. You don't have to carry the curse just because your dad was that way. Or your mama. Yeah. So quit judging them for it and move on. Okay? God is now your parent. And he is the Father God. And he is forming us into his image. If we will yield to him. If we will cooperate with him. Right? We're changed even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is God's will for you. And let's let him do it. Let him change us, mature us, get rid of the garbage and the baggage that we got from our childhood. Some people never get rid of the baggage from the childhood. They carry it all their life. They wanted so much their father's affection. They wanted so much his acceptance. And they never got it. So they carried the baggage their whole life. They're walking wounded. They're walking disability because they're disabled by what happened to them in their childhood. But see, God wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to heal and pour out the balm of Gilead. He wants to deliver you from them demons you picked up through your upbringing. Of course he does. He makes everything beautiful in this time. So, let's let God do his work. It's a lot easier if we don't put up a fight and we yield to God's work in us. Because he's making us beautiful. What is beautiful? Christ-like is beautiful. God-like is beautiful, for God is beautiful, right? And yes, some people resist change and blame all kinds of things and people on for staying the way they are. So they're good at making excuses, but they're never getting any growth process out of things because they're blaming everybody else for the problem. They're a victim. They got a victim mentality, which is a demon, that they've given place to the devil in that way. So they're just stubborn people. That's right. And yeah, if they accepted Christ, still they can go on and be with the Lord someday. But if but they'll stay in bondage all their life if they don't get rid of that victim mentality. Okay, and they'll miss out on so much in this earth, and they'll have much misery and carnality will be in their life because they refuse to come out of their victim mentality. So much better to yield to Jesus. Yield to change in your life as the Holy Spirit works on you, bringing it to pass. Let him show you the demons that are in you and need to be removed, for your spiritual growth. Removing the hindrances is important, you know. Got to get rid of the hindering things in your life. I mean, everybody has hindering things in their life until they get them out. So are you willing to get rid of the hindrances in your life? I mean, no, but listen, demons do hinder the things of God. They do block the things of God. They'll camp around your spirit, try to block the things of the spirit from getting out of your spirit into your soulish area and renewing your mind and causing you to have victory in your life. They're going to try to hinder you. The devil is a hinderer. Remember, Paul said, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. See, the devil knows how to hinder us. He's been doing it for thousands of years here, for thousands of years here. And so he knows how to be a hindrance to the things of God. And, of course, he uses his demon spirits that attack the people to hinder you. And so a lot of people never get anywhere because they're the hindering demons that are attached to them. And that they're trying to make progress, but the progress isn't being made because of the hindering demons that are in their life. Well, we know that God gave us grace through the children's bread to get rid of the hindering demons. But you have to be willing, again, to get rid of what you got. Okay? Oh, yeah. A lot of Christians are simply not willing, or they're just willfully ignorant, or they just choose to not deal with the demons in their life, or they simply rebel against the Word of God, say, I don't have any demons. They're taught wrong. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So what are you going to do, Saint? I'm just here to challenge you tonight. What are you going to do? I've given you a lot of information here tonight, a lot of things to cause you to be able to live a different kind of life, see? Oh, yeah. That's right. How are you going to do it? What are you going to do about it? You know? Well, we got some choices to make. What are we going to do? Are we going to become a person that talks accurately the things of the Spirit, or are you going to keep talking the trash you've been talking for all these years? Yeah, some Christians, you've got an unbelieving mouth. They just speak unbelief all the time. That's what comes out their mouth. They can't help themselves. See? We're only able to go ahead if we quit looking behind and living in the behind. Remember, you can't move ahead if you can't look ahead and go ahead. I mean, if you're looking behind all the time, what did Lot's wife did? She looked behind. She looked back. She couldn't let go of her past, and it ate her up, man. It wiped her out, right? Yeah. If you keep dwelling on your failures, then you're going to continue to be a failure. Right? You'll continue to fail. In other words, maybe you're not a failure, but you're going to continue to fail because you're dwelling on failure. We don't want to keep dwelling on our failure. See, our heart needs to not be fixed on our failures, but it needs to be fixed on our victory, which is Christ Jesus. See, that's where you need to put your heart. That's where you need to put your focus. That's where you need to put your mind fixed on the Lord. You know, not be double-minded because you'd be unstable. See, if you're unstable, that you put yourself in a condition where the enemy can attack you with an open door, because instability, double-mindedness, is an open door for the enemy. Okay? Fine. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, when we're living in instability, what are we doing? Our hearts, we need to be fixed on the Lord, single-minded, fixed on the Lord. But, yeah, you need to decide what it's going to be for you. Okay? If you're really hungry for God, then you need to get all you can get from God and let God transform you and have a godly determination to receive from him. You know, hey, those who want revival will get revival. Those who want renewal will have renewal, but you've got to hunger for it. Okay? Those who are ready and wanting it will get it. God is our help and our shield. Right? Let's read this as our final closing scripture here today as we finish out this message. Go to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 11. I tell you, we need to focus on him more than we need to focus on all the stuff going on out there in the world. Psalm 115, 11. It says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. See, what is he? He's our help and our shield. What does a shield do? It protects its bearer from the enemy, see, from the fiery darts of the wicked one. We put up that shield of faith. Hey, God is protecting us from those whom the enemy would use against you as well. Amen. So confess it. Jesus is my shield. God is my shield. I have the shield of faith as well. You know, we put up the shield of faith. Keep reading here. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. See, start saying that. Start saying that over yourself. God will bless me. He's mindful of me. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more. He's going to increase me more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Start declaring these things over yourself. I'm blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is increasing me more and more, me and my children. He's increasing me more and more. See? He's mindful of me. He will bless me. He will bless me. He will bless my house. Amen? Amen. See, this is what the declarations that we need to be saying today. Okay? He's our help. He's our shield. He's for us. If God be for us, who could be against us, right? But we're going to have to believe this. We can't go through life not believing it. We're living in fear all the time and thinking all these bad things are going to happen to us because they have in the past, and being all this, freaking out condition so much of the time because of the things going on in the world. That, hey, there's always going to be wicked going on in the world. Yeah, we've never seen it like this before, but you know what? There's still going to be more wicked going on. If you haven't had enough to freak out yet, there'll be a whole lot more that'll be even more intense coming before the return of the Lord. You read the book of Revelation, you know that. Hey, we're going to see these things take place in the earth like we've never seen before. Okay? So if you're freaking out now, what are you going to do when all these things are coming to pass? Hey, the Lord is my help and my shield. You think he isn't a shield in the midst of the world going through all kinds of tribulation and stuff? He's your shield. He'll take care of you because you're the righteous. I'm the righteous. He's going to take care of me. But we're going to have to believe it, see. As your faith is, Jesus said, be it unto you. See, fame is true and delivered. No wonder you're not getting delivered. Your faith is that the demon's bigger than God is, that you get to keep your demon because, oh, it just doesn't seem to go. Well, if you believe that demon's going to go and then you get delivered from it, it has to go, see. As your faith is, so is it unto you, right? As you believe, so be it unto you. That's what the word says. That's what Jesus said. But we got to believe it. We got to access it as truth. That he is mindful of us, that he is mindful of you, and take it home to yourself, and that he will bless you. And then we expect his blessing because of that, and we confess his blessing because of that, and we step out and step over into the realm of God, the realm of anything is possible to him that believeth, see? Right? We need to live in the realm of anything is possible to me, to you, right? For you. Amen? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's getting bad out there in the world. No doubt about it. But what are you going to be the victim of it? You're going to let them destroy your faith in God because you see all the negative wickedness happening in this world? No, I know that, again, I got to remember the promises of the Word of God. I know that I can bind demons. I can pull down strongholds. I have the authority over the things of darkness that I can rebuke the devourer. I can stop him in the name of Jesus. I've been given dominion in there. You've been given dominion in there. You've been given spiritual authority. You've been given the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God. You've been given the power of God to walk in dominion in the earth. You need to start taking dominion, taking that thing away from the devil. He's psyching Christians out and taking the dominion from them and taking the dominion in the earth that they should be having because nobody's stopping him. I bind you, devil. He stopped you in Jesus' name. You're not having the dominion in the earth. We're having the dominion in the earth. You gave us authority, Lord, and we're going to walk in the dominion that you gave us. We bind you and you bind your wicked works in the earth. We break the fire of darkness over us in Jesus' name, and we loose light. We lose heaven over us. We lose victory over us. We lose all the blessings of God. See, whatever you bind on earth can be loosed in heaven. Whatever you lose in earth, you'll be loosed in heaven. Huh? You got the keys of the kingdom. Let's use those keys and be effective with them. Let's not just jangle them around and be proud that we have them on us. Let's use them because that's what they're meant for, not just to be jangled in your pocket or on your belt or something or in your purse. God gave you the keys of the kingdom for a reason, not to just look at, not to just brag about, but to use. Amen. Bind it and loosing. What have you bound lately this week? What have you loosed? I was binding and loosing today. Before the program, I was binding and loosing when I got up this morning. I got my oil good out and started anointing with oil again. I'm gonna put the devil where he belongs. See, he's going to stay there too. I'm not taking this from him in Jesus' name. See, and you've got to have a holy determination. See, if you don't have that, how are you going to get delivered? If you don't have a holy determination that these demons are going to come out and I'm not going to let you run my family, I'm not going to let you take my children, I'm not going to let you take my health, my wealth, my blessing. See, you got to have a determination. Otherwise, the enemy will run you over and he will rob you and steal, because that's what he is. He's just death, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Wherever he can, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. You giving him permission, or are you going to say no permission here where I'm concerned? What you going to do with him? What you going to let him do? Are you going to let him do anything? I'm going to let him be bound in Jesus' name. That's what I'm going to let him do. I'm going to bind him and tie him up in chains in Jesus' name. Those demons will not prevail in the name of Jesus. I have the blood. I'm a priest and a king. You have the blood of Jesus at your disposal, right? That's what priests do, right? They handle the blood of Jesus. They handle blood. That's what the Old Testament did, priests did, and the New Testament handled the blood of Jesus because we have a better covenant, and we have a better blood than the blood of bulls and goats, which could never wash away your sins, which never delivered you. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. But the blood of Jesus, once and forever, his blood has been offered, and we now have the handling of that blood, the ability to drink the blood and handle the blood, right? He said, if you don't drink my blood, eat my body, you have no part with me. So, the priest drinks the blood, eats the body, and the priest is a partaker of the Lord. And we have a place at his table, amen? And we sit as a king at his table, but he's the king of kings. The Bible calls him the king of kings and the Lord of lords. We may be a king, but he's the king of kings, the greatest king of all kings ever. Never will be one like him either. And therefore, we're seated at his table with the king of kings. We're a king, but he's the king of kings. And we have been given the authority because he said we're joint heirs with Christ. We got whatever he got, see? See, we got to start having these scriptures where they just pop to our mind when we need them, not just, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And you start freaking out and getting in fear and getting in bondage and freaking out that things aren't going to work out. And, But no, just the scriptures rise up in Jesus' name. They rise up and you start declaring them and you start taking your authority, see. Amen. I'm going to leave you with that tonight so we go do some deliverance. But, I'm telling you, I'm challenging you. We live in an hour that you cannot afford to live any other way than in your full authority as a believer, right? The full God-given authority. Hey, the two witnesses, they're going to call down fire from heaven. It's going to devour people and things. Hey, there can be a lot of witnesses. It doesn't just have to be the two witnesses. They call down fire from heaven and that bring things into existence and change things and stop things that the devil has planned to do through his evil leadership in the earth that are controlled by demons and devils and fallen angels, right? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes down from above. We thank you for that. Thank you that we're blessed of heaven. We're blessed by you yourself, Lord. You put a blessing on us, and you baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire, Lord. You give us a prayer language so we can pray in the Spirit. And you've called us out to live in a time like this, a time like we've never seen and heard of in recent history. Nothing like this, maybe ever in history, right? Where the whole world is being attacked by devils right now. They're just pouring out the darkness. But in Jesus' name, we are the light of this world. You told us that we're a city set on a hill. So, Father, we shine brighter and brighter until the full day by the grace of God, Father. Just shine through us, Father. And let us walk in our spiritual authority, Father. Let us walk in a way that you would have us to walk in a day that we're living in, the day that you have us to live in, Lord. Thank you for just showing us these keys to our well-being, Father, that you have our well-being in mind, Lord, that you want what's best for us, and that you're going to call us to walk uprightly when even those around us are falling on the right and on the left, Father. But we put our hand to the plow, and we're not looking back, Father. We're not putting our hand on the world again. We're not going back to that which we have turned away from. Oh, Lord, we're not going back to Egypt. We're living in the promised land, Father. By the grace of God, we've come out of Egypt. We're not going back. We don't want it. We don't want your marks. We don't need your vax. We don't need your jab. We don't need what you have to offer. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We live in your system, your economy, your kingdom. And we have a lot of things in that kingdom that we better learn, Lord, by the grace of God to believe, because those are the only things that are going to get us through these end times, these latter days of great darkness in the land. But, Lord, we know them, and we want to know them better, and we want to know the things of God. We want to know you most of all better. so that you bring us through to see you coming in the clouds of glory if you grant us the grace to live to that day when you do come. Praise God. Hallelujah. We worship you now. We worship you. We glorify you. We partake of you. We receive from you right now the good things of heaven, Father. Just pour them out on us. We just open up our receivers right now to receive that which is holy, that which is heavenly, that which is glorious. And Father, we receive those glorious things right now. We receive them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We receive boldness right now. We pray for holy boldness for all that listen. Lord, just fill them up with boldness, holy boldness in these last days, that we have the boldness of Apostle Paul. We have the boldness of Elijah and Elisha, Father, that we would walk in holy boldness, Father, in these latter days, Father. And there'd be great grace upon each one of us, great grace, Father, that we would call things that are not as though they are, and we would see things transformed. That we would speak life where there is death, and we would see life come in to certain situations and certain circumstances and things that look like they're bad. But, Lord, all things are possible to him that believes. Lord, let's help us to get a believing bigger. Now, I know you're going to come back, though, and I know some things are going to happen that are going to be bad things. When you pour out your wrath on the wicked, going to be some bad things going on, and Lord, come quickly. We want you to come quickly, and if this is time for you to come, then so be it. But Lord, we could still pray certain things, even in the midst of that. And Lord, so I know that we still can have walk in holy boldness, and we can still walk in the divine protection of God, even though there'll be some of us that may have to give our life for Christ as a martyr. Yes, and we'll suffer persecution. But Lord, that's an honor in the kingdom. That's a great honor. And so, Lord, let us not fear death so much. Let us not be afraid of dying so much and worried about our bodies and worried about our lives, Father. Instead, Lord, that we just trust in you with all our heart and not worry about all our own understanding of things. But, Lord, we trust in you. You will lead us, God. You'll lead us in the ways of righteousness. You'll lead us in this hour. And you'll lead us in the way that we should go, the ways that we should act, the things that we should say and do, Father, that your Spirit would be leading us. Hallelujah. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know what? I prayed a lot longer than I planned to, but took away some of our deliverance time. But still, we're going to get some in tonight, regardless that we prayed longer. But you know what? When you feel the Spirit, and you know you need to be praying, you just pray, regardless, right? Amen. And that's what we did. We just prayed. Praise God. We'll be back in just a minute here, and then we'll start casting out some demons.
hearts of men failing them for fear in the time of the end.
We are living in the time of the end, but God is with us as a mighty one. So praise God. Yeah, that sounds a little rocky, but yeah, it tells us some things that are true about now. So but praise God, we're going to make it through it. That is for sure. Because the greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. Amen, amen, amen. All right, let's do some deliverance here. We got some time here to do some deliverance in spite of that we did use a lot of time. We did. Do still have time to do some demon deliverance, get them out of there, deliver ourselves from these wicked spirits of darkness that we don't want in our lives anymore. Amen. Do you want them? I don't want them. I want them out. They have to go in Jesus' name. They have to. Amen. All right, so let's cast out some spirits in Jesus' name. Just renounce them. Just say, I renounce every wicked spirit in me. And I command you to start coming out of me now. Just repeat that after me. Just say, I renounce every wicked spirit in me. I command you to start coming out of me now in Jesus' name. I am not in agreement with you. Let them know you're not in agreement with them. I'm not in agreement with you anymore. And you have to go in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now come out of there. Somebody says rap music here in the trap room. We break the curse of rap music. We command the rap music spirit to go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out. All those ungodly music spirits right now. Rock and roll, rap music. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Country, ungodly country music, ungodly worldly music of any kind. Come out. All that rap music. Come out. Let's break the curse of that rap music. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Come 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 out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go. Come on, up out of there. Up out of there. Move. In the name of Jesus, all that rap music, you got to go. All the way up out of there. Go. All rock music, rap music, come out. Ungodly music, all the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, listen to that music. It could be a window into your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. And demons can enter in sometimes. You keep listening, 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 opening up doors there. Yeah. Now, it's one thing to have to hear it when you go to stores and stuff and go out in the public, but another thing to willfully bring that into your home all the time on a regular basis and into your car on a regular basis and a Walkman or whatever those things are that you put in your ears, all earbuds and listening to that all the time. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out in Jesus' name. We come against the spirit of accidents right now. Having accidents, accident prone, accidents, or different things happening to you physically to hurt you. We bind and break the spirit of accident prone. Come out. Accident prone. The spirits that are trying to come in and make you accident prone. We command them to go too in Jesus' name. All those accident spirits, you come out, 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 out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, accident spirit, accident prone, come out. We break the power of spirits right now in the name of Jesus. We bind you. We break the power of spirit. Go, come out. I bind you. I break your hold over people and lose people from your inhabiting them. Come out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Accidents and accident-prone spirits. And sometimes, you know, people live in a place that causes you to have accidents, so you got to take and anoint your place with oil. Come against those spirits that way, too. Keep coming out of it, all the way out. Go, 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 come out. Spirits of infirmity, attacks of infirmity, go, come out. Spirits of sickness, come out. In Jesus' name, we come against those spirits of sickness, disease, infirmity, things going wrong with your body. We come against those spirits that try to bring difficulties with your body, physical ailments. Come out. Come out right now. Come on, infirmity, I bind you. Come out of there, all the way out. All those physical infirmities, physical things that coming against your body, we bind those spirits. Come out right now. Come out right now. Come out. 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 All the way out. Spirits of aging, spirits that try to age you prematurely and break down your body, you come out all the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out worrying, staying up all night, worrying, troubled about things, insomnia, inability to sleep. Come out, inability to get your rest. Come out in Jesus' name. For the spirits that are blocking sleep, come out of there. Blocking rest, Jesus' name. Staying up and worrying, being troubled about things, not knowing that you're troubled, but it's still keeping you awake. You don't know why. There's things that are troubling you in the sleep. Come out. Come out now, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, go. In the name of Jesus right now, you come out of there, all the way out. I'm talking to you demons right now. You have to obey now, come out. These people don't want you, you have to obey now, come out, come out, come out, come out. I break your hold, I bind you, you come out of there, all the way up out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 keep going. Come out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go, loose them and let them go, all the way, in Jesus' name. Spirit of mistreatment, you come out. Or the devil trying to mistreat you and causing people to mistreat you and you to mistreat yourself. All that spirit of mistreatment, come out. Treatment, come out, 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 come out. Come out, 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 come all the way out now. All of that mistreatment, come out, all the way out. Causing you to be mistreated, causing you to mistreat yourself, causing others to mistreat you, all the way out. Allowing demons to mistreat you, come out. All that mistreatment, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come on, all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out. Envy, you come out, greed, envy, come out, greed and envy, we break the curse of greed and envy, come out, all the way out, come out now, greed and envy have to go, come on out, blood of Jesus against you, right now, the blood of Jesus against you, come out, right now, come out, greed and envy, I bind you, I break your hold, come out. That greedy spirit, that envious spirit, come out. That selfishness, you come out. That selfishness, come out. Self-centeredness, come out. Selfishness, come out. Come out. I bind you. Break your hold. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out of it. Go in the name of Jesus right now. All the way. Loose them. Let them go. All the way. Jesus' name. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the prejudice spirits, you come out. Prejudice. Prejudice toward another race, come out. Prejudice toward those that are ungodly or something, or toward the religious people or something, come out. All those prejudice spirits, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go, go, go. Come out. All those prejudice spirits, come out. Come out. Come out now. Go in the name of Jesus. I break your hold. Come out. All the way out. Go. Move in Jesus' name. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. We come against it. Any false personality in there, that other personality that tries to manifest its time and live through you. We command a demonic false personality. Come out, 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 come out. Maybe it was the personality of a relative. They had that same demon. And we just break it right now and break the curse of it and command it to go, that false personality. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on, all the way out. Go, that false personality, come out. That manifests from time to time and starts living through you and expressing itself. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go. We break the curse of that. We command it to cut all soul ties with anyone it came from. We cut them in Jesus' name. All those soul ties, the soul copies. We break the soul copies that you copy of someone else's soul and that personality of their soul being copied on you by some demon. We break that soul copy off of you right now in Jesus' name. Command it to come out. Come out, all that soul copy of another. Come out in Jesus' name, the demonic soul copy. Come out, 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 come out. Come on out, all the way out. Come on, you can't stand there. Come out. In Jesus' name, we command you to move. Keep moving all the way out. All the way. All the way up out of there. I bind you in Jesus' name. You come out of there. All the way out. I break your hold now in Jesus' name. All the way up out of there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we break the grip of demons off of loved ones who have wandered from the fold right now. We pray for them right now, loved ones who have wandered from the Lord or who don't know the Lord, never knew the Lord. We command those spirits that are blinding them, that they are taken captive by the devil's will. We just bind those spirits that are doing that for them and pray their eyes be open right now. We bind the blinders off their eye, command those blinders to come off their eyes so they could see. And their lost condition and come under conviction of the Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, we break any curses over them that are keeping them in a lost condition. We break it in Jesus' name to the degree that we can spiritually do that. We do that in Jesus' name because we know they have a will and a choice. But Lord, in Jesus' name, we just thank you that every possible way that can be made that they can come into relationship with you would be made for them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for their salvation, and they're getting right with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We call them in Jesus' name. We command the cursing spirit to go. We break the cursing profane spirit, profanity of the mouth, come out. Profanity of the mouth and self-cursing with the mouth, saying negative things over yourself, the negative tongue, come out, come out, come out, come out. That negative tongue spirit, come out, come out. The self-cursing, come out. Come out, come out, come out. The self-cursing, I bind you in Jesus' name. Just break your hold in the name of Jesus. You puny little weak demon, you come out of there. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus. You know you have to bow your knee to the name above every name and go. Now come out of there. Come out of there. Go, 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 go. Move, 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 move. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Keep going. Keep going. Keep moving. All the way. In Jesus' name. Spirit of violence. We rebuke the spirit of violence in Jesus' name. All that violence through video games and through watching movies and TV and all seeing people killed all the time and done that violently, treated violently. We command that spirit of violence to come out. 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 All the way out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. We live in a violent society. You have to go. All the violence, go in Jesus' name. All that violence, we rebuke the spirits of violence. You loose people and let them go right now. Come out. All that violence in Jesus' name. All that hatred, come out. The spirit of hate, come out. Come out, 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 hate, come out, spirit of hate, all the way out, in the name of Jesus right now, we're talking to you, demon, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, in the name of Jesus, go, 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 in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, go, go, come out, come out, fear of making a wrong decision, you come out. Come on, all that fear of making the wrong decision, I bind you right now. That fear of making decisions, not being able to make the right decision, come out. All that fear of making the wrong decision, come out. Fear of making a decision, come out. All the way out, come 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 out. We thank you, Lord, that we are led by the Spirit of God and we can make decisions. Amen. Come out, all the way out. Jesus' name. Come out. Spirit of apprehension, come out. Come out. You get that apprehension at certain times. We rebuke that apprehension. Come out. All that apprehension, you come out. Right now, apprehension, spirit of apprehension, come out. Come out, 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 come out of there. Apprehension, we're talking to you, demon. I find you, come out. I break your hold over people now. Loose them and let them go. Apprehension, all that apprehension, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there right now. That awkward spirit, awkward, called you to be awkward in some certain situations and circumstances. Come out, that awkward spirit. Come out, 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 all the way out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 go. Loose them and let them go. Keep going, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus. All the way. Keep coming out. Keep coming out of there. All the way. All the way. Spirit of doubtfulness. You come out. Spirit of doubtfulness. Being doubtful and doubting God. All that doubt. Come out. Spirit of doubt. Doubtfulness. Come out. 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 That doubting spirit. Doubting Thomas. Come out. Full of doubt. Come out. Come out. Hatred for men. Hatred for women. Come out. All that hatred for men. Hatred for women. Have you suffered mistreatment at a woman by a woman or a man? And maybe you divorced and they did you wrong. The wife got everything or vice versa. You come out of it. All that hatred for women, come out. Hatred for women, hatred for men, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there all the way out. All the way out, come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, all the way out. I bind you, the blood of Jesus, all the way out. Amen. Would you repeat this with me? For the long life you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. All right, amen. Just repeat it again. For the long life you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. With a long and healthy life you will. Satisfy me and show me your salvation too, because God promised us health in the Bible. He said, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. So we have scripture for that. So with a long and healthy life, you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. Amen. Amen. See, declare that over yourself. Declare that. Declare the truth over yourself. Declare health and healing for your body by the stripes of Jesus. I was healed. Therefore, I am healed. I declare that over my body in the name of Jesus right now. Just put your hand on your body, wherever it is. You're having a problem. Just say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. He bore my sicknesses and infirmities in his own body. Therefore, by his stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Jesus, that I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. We start calling things that are not as though they are, see? And we're going to see the reality of those things. Don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go of what the word says, no matter what, folks. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to let you go now. I appreciate y'all tuning in tonight. The Lord bless you richly. Father, we ask you to seal this deliverance tonight that people have received in Jesus' name. All right. We'll see you back next week. Bye-bye.
Nothing is mine.
Accepted in the beloved, we are his, all through eternity, now and through eternity. What a glorious truth that we have to hold on to. Well, may the Lord just hold you tightly and love you greatly all the days of your life. And we will see you back next week. Bye-bye.